Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm giving all the tips and tricks you need in order to keep the spark alive in a long-distance relationship and all relationships. Plus, I'm answering your questions. Topics include from sexting to FaceTime dates to controlling a partner's vibrator speeds while you're overseas. Sex and intimacy can still prevail no matter the distance. So your partner made you squirt once, but you haven't been able to recreate the moment. How do you do it like you mean it? And how to let your partner know that your love for nipple play has dropped to more of a friends with benefits type of situation. All this and more. Thanks for listening. So the other day,
look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You can love our site. You can go shopping there. All the things we mentioned, you can find on our site. Also, find us wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. We love that. You can also find me on SiriusXM Radio. It stars Channel 109. I'm there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific. And if you don't have Sirius, no problem. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM or just call in with your questions because I'm there, 888-947-8277. And you can find me on all social media. It's Sex with Emily across the board. Also, if you haven't seen it yet, you guys, I'm super excited about my Sex with Emily Vesper, which is essentially an elegant vibrator that I wear as a necklace. Now, you can't tell it's a vibrator, but it is a great conversation piece, and we're selling a lot of them. You guys are loving them, so thanks for sharing that with me, because yes, it works. They're really cool vibrators. It's strong, it's USB rechargeable, and you can get one of three limited edition phrases: I come first, turn me on, or meditate, masturbate, manifest. Just go to sexwithemily.com/Vesper. All right, guys, hope you enjoy the show. Long distance sex tips. So here's the thing about our tips where was my point? I was circling back to something. Because you're driving along and you're like, who's talking about sex? No one talks about it. That it's because no one has talked to you about it. You probably didn't have sex education. You're probably not talking about it with your partner, and you're not talking about it with your doctor. And so a lot of this stuff is just learning the steps of how to actually, like, he might want to be sexting her all day long, but he doesn't know how. So when you're in a long distance relationship, Like, there are many things. It could be work that takes you away, or maybe you're, you know, you're abroad. Although I don't think in college you should. If you're abroad and your semester abroad, you should not be in a relationship. Okay, so that was a bad example. All right. You know, wherever you work, you got a few weeks away, maybe just once a week, or it's just a few times a year, and it's killing you. How do you stay connected? How do you keep the spark alive in your sex life? Well, it's hard. You got to keep that spark alive, and you got to find creative ways to keep it interesting. Because I got to be honest, if it was just like phones, and I've done that before, there was all the texting, kind of like you'd be on the phone for hours, and it's just like it's sucked the life out of you. But now you have, like, you could FaceTime, you have sexting, you can send sexy pictures, you can play games. I mean, you could literally do like a FaceTime date. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to keep the intimacy alive when you're not together. So I feel like, so here's just some tips on how to do it, because it is the best time than ever before to be in, if you got to be in a long distance relationship, it's not so bad. Let me tell you, walk you through it. So if you are a stranger to dirty talk, to nudes, time to, you know, maybe get used to it if you feel comfortable with it. If you're in a committed relationship with somebody and you want to send pictures or you want to send something sexy, I really think that you have to, like, the thing is, it's like, let me say this. It doesn't even have to be a nude. It could be something suggestive. So let me start over. I still have not sent a nude. I'm just saying, but I'm not married. I'm not a long-term relationship, but you can be creative. You can actually send a picture without your face. You could also just send a picture of you, like, in the kitchen. Like, maybe, what was it, Sylvie?
Heidi.
Heidi's like, you know, her husband's away. She could take a picture of herself, like, in the kitchen, wearing the kitchen, what's it called?
The apron.
And just, like, flash it with, like, no underwear or something. Like, here's me in our kitchen.
That's,
it could be
hot.
like her little butt from behind. And it could be something creative around the house. It can be suggestive. It can be sexy and flirty and fun. It doesn't have to be totally nude, but you can be artful and just have fun with it. But your partner wants to see you. They want to see that, you know, you're thinking about them. So I think sending a cute, funny picture. It could be cute and funny. Cute, sexy picture is great. But dirty talk, you guys, and sexting, that's a whole nother thing. I actually had a very good sexting sesh last week. I had a relationship that was just, the whole relationship lasted 3 days, but for 1.5 of those days, it was mostly sexting, and it was great. It was like the best sexting I've had. Meaning, it was something I've just met, and then we realized it wasn't going to go anywhere else. But good sexting, it's definitely a skill,
mm-hmm.
but it's not that hard. It just takes practice, you guys.
It's hard to start, maybe.
It is hard to start. So you could really, listen, and you don't want to start off, like, with all the things you want to do and all the crazy things that we're going to get into. You can just say something like, I keep thinking about you, or if I was there right now, what would you do to me? Or, you know what I would do if you were here to meet with me right now? Or guess what I'm thinking about? It has to do with you. You can send something suggestive to your partner and then see how they respond. It's a conversation like everything else. You don't just drop into the sexy time talk.
Like, don't go, like, don't premature anal in the sexting.
Right, exactly. Right. Don't.
Yes.
Don't go from zero to anal.
Zero to anal.
zero to penis when it comes to anal. Don't go zero to the sexting, to the you know, the thing. So you could also just start with some leading questions, kind of set the mood. And you could also, you know, just like you could even write these ahead of time. Like, you could even be thinking about, like, can't wait to see your body again, or I keep thinking about last time we were together. And then you just can let it escalate and see if your partner would be into, like, doing a little bit more. And if not, just hearing those words every day that your partner is missing you and thinking about your body and thinking about things you do together, I think that can really help with, I don't know, that's what I'm a words of affirmation for my partner, my love language.
So, like, could you maybe then too, because I was thinking, if you did it ahead of time, you can kind of, like, leave certain blanks for, like, certain body parts or certain, like, things that you're going to do to that body part, and then just kind of fill in accordingly as the conversation goes on.
Yeah, exactly. Just have it all.
Like a sexting Mad Libs.
Yes. Mm. I've seen those dirty Mad Libs. It's actually a really good idea. I mean, to, like, think about, even after you've sexed, if you've been so blown away by the last sex you had, like, write some notes. I've been talking into my phone, my notes in my phone. You can just talk about it. Remember, so you have memories of specific moments in time.
Oh, that's really smart, too.
And, like, writing erotica, too. I mean, we had a listener who was so, he called in, and he was, like, trying to, you know, he had been with his wife for, like, you know, a while, and things weren't as interesting anymore, and he was trying to spice it up, and he actually wrote her an erotic story He wrote her erotica based on what he wanted in their, like, what he wanted in their relationship. And it was like stuff about both of them. That wasn't just like his needs, but like, I picture you wearing this black piece of lingerie and I come home and you're sitting on the piano bench and you've, you know, and then I get down on my knee. Like, he had a whole thing and he gave it to her and he was like, I didn't know if she was going to read it or what was going to happen. And then he got home from a trip and she was like wearing the lingerie. She was sitting on the bed. Like, she prepared, she read the whole scene now. Like, she was like, this is really hot because, you know, you don't have to be like a, you know, a novelist, but I think that there's really something about words. And, you know, we know that we get turned on in so many different ways. And some of it's words, some of it's visual, you know, so I think it's just another piece of it. So if you're in a long distance thing, you could exchange a story. You could each write a paragraph and swap back and forth.
Oh, and then create like a longer story. Yes. That's really cool.
I like that. Yeah. I'm actually going to take that tip. Yeah. That's great. I love that.
Like when you're telling the story at the you finish the yeah. sentence at game, yeah. Be
oh
like
my
we
God.
Did this because then it's not as vulnerable. You can pick out what you want, yeah. and then they have to respond because so much of this is like we're so afraid to make the first move,
right?
So when you lead it, you're like, now your turn. What are they going to do? Yeah, your husband's going to have to answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he will send me those all the time, and I will do that. But I've never thought about doing it back and forth. That would be fun.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, good.
I would love that.
There we go.
Writing it down.
That'd be fun. Yeah, right. She's writing it down. I love it.
I really am.
And then the other thing, you guys, is yeah, a lot of people are video chatting, FaceTime, Skype. And I'm telling you, there is a certain, you know, we didn't have that before. So now that you can actually see your partner and you could look at him, you can have everything almost butt touch, right? I guess, and scent. But you can plan a date on the Skype or on FaceTime. Mm-hmm. You can say, we're going to meet here, you know, 8 o'clock, we're each going to have dinner, we're going to have a drink of wine, we're going to have a glass of wine, we're going to like, and then like try to like have an interesting conversation. There's all these great games where you could ask each other really intimate questions. You could play some sex games. You could do some mutual masturbation if you're into that. You could use the Weeva again. Another great thing are these toys. God damn it. These toys that we talk about that can use the WeConnect app, the WeVibe toys. I think most of them now can do it with the WeVibe mm-hmm. toys. I think most of them do. Is that you literally, your partner can be in the next room. They can be next to you. They could be in China and controlling the app. Like you are wearing the vibrator, using the vibrator. And you could each have vibrators and be on their WeVibe app and controlling each other's toys. I mean, it's insane. Raise that.
That's it. Really
blows
is.
My mind.
The fact that you can do two like each other's toys. It's yeah. not just like one person yeah. doing it. So you both feel like yeah. you're part of the fun.
Yeah, you're both controlling it. Like you may have the cock ring on, and you might be using the, you know, the Bloom, or the what other ones? The Rave, the Nova, all the toys. They're great toys.
I feel like that'd be an interesting way for guys to masturbate more is like wearing a vibrating cock ring.
Yes.
Yes. Men
My
should,
husband uses it.
He does?
Loves that. Yeah.
The vibrating cock ring.
Yeah. He
oh,
loves
cool.
That. He has it. I mean, we have a ton of toys too, but he has all kinds of cock rings and that one he
wow,
does.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Which one? Yeah. Do you know? Does he just, it's stretchy and it's.
It is stretchy. Vibrate. And it can fit around his balls too.
Oh, that one.
So,
nice.
Yeah. It's that one.
I wonder if it's like the Jive.
It's oh, the, that the, sounds familiar.
The I think it's the not the. It starts with a V, the Verge.
The Verge.
Oh.
Yes, I get it confused. The Verge. Yeah, and your balls tap into it.
Yep.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's a really good one. Oh, yeah. And it goes on your
perineum. And I've also ridden on top of him with that, and it feels so amazing.
Yeah, but that's so the good. Thing. That's so hot.
Yeah, it's
right.
Great.
The cock. Yeah, if you do that or the cock ring.
Yes.
Would you ride like that?
Yes,
feels great
yes,
too.
Exactly. It's God. So nice. Oh, love
I know
that.
It's so fun, you guys, because toys are you know for couples experiences. The when I was just several calls tonight, women are realizing that it's okay that they don't have orgasms during penetration. These toys can allow you, if your partner's using a toy or wearing a toy or holding it up to your clitoris during penetration, you'll still be able to get some fun on, get your orgasm on.
How do you get over, like, stage fright, I guess, for over video chat kind of a thing?
Yeah, like if just talking or if you're masturbating?
Well, like if you start, like, because if it's the first time doing it, like I can see how someone would be like, I don't know. Because like,
yeah,
when you're in the same room,
the
it's like you're in the heat of the moment and that's cool and you could still be mutually masturbating. But when you're over the phone, it's like.
Well, I guess there has to be a certain level of, you know, it's a partner that you're already comfortable with and that you've already been, you know, with. But I think it's, especially I'm trying to think, because I did this in a relationship when it was fairly new. We were like away for like a week or something. And I remember doing it. At first, I was a little shy.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, but then like. once you get into masturbation, you just get into yourself and doing your thing. You just kind of forget that you're looking at them, but you just, but I remember being like, how's the right angle? And then I'm just like, fuck it.
Right? I feel like you'd want to sculpt it.
Yeah. Well, then practice. Get your light outs and your ring lights and stuff. But I think that all these things we talk about could potentially be really uncomfortable at first. Just looking someone in the eyes is uncomfortable the first time, you know? True. But everything gets a little bit easier after you do it. So you could even say, like, let's try this. And if it gets weird, you know, maybe we could stop for a minute. Like, remember, just because you start something also, you're allowed to stop it. You're allowed to say, okay, that's all I want to do for today. Maybe next week we'll, you know, get totally naked. But I think, you know, I think it's just even trying it and then just seeing how you feel and then going back next time, maybe doing more.
Yeah, and then maybe like laughing, but then being like, it's okay. And then like going back.
But that's the thing. People don't realize, like, be honest. Like, if you just hang up in a panic, you're like, oh, now that made me feel weird, you know? I mean, for a moment, I need to take a pause. Maybe we'll get back to it. I think oftentimes when we get like fearful around sex or something happens sexually and we stop it, like we tell our partners like, oh no, let's stop. They read like, oh no, I fucked up, I hurt you, or you don't want to be with me. But sometimes it just means like pause. Like, we can come back to this in a minute. It doesn't mean that I don't want to continue masturbating. I need to take a breath. So I think that if you can communicate that to your partner sometimes rather than just like shutting it down, then we'd be more likely to, even when we're having sex sometimes, don't you ever want to stop or you want to move positions? Or sometimes we're just like, we start having sex or we start doing some sex act and we're like, I don't really want to finish, but I feel like I should. Mm-hmm. I don't think there should be shoulds when it comes to sex, like as far as like finishing an act. Like if you don't, you could say, you know what, I need to take a beat for a minute, or let's just go back to kissing, or, you know? And I think that sometimes we just stop and then our partner doesn't know that like you just didn't want that particular thing. You could go back to just holding hands, being intimate and kissing. And if you're online, just go back to staring into each other's eyes or whatever you're doing.
I always imagine like someone FaceTiming sex with their partner and then all of a sudden they're getting close, but then they like get a call from a relative.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no, I don't want to finish. That'd be the worst.
Exactly. Or you
name.
Answer by mistake. You
answer by mistake. Oh, no. That would be the worst.
Yeah.
Answering
you can
by
get
mistake.
In so much trouble now with all the with FaceTime calling someone that, you know, like just the way your phone. People are butt dialing, you know, all the time, right? It happens to me. My mom does it every day.
I feel like it's more of like a thing like
moms
60 parents. Older. Yeah, because my dad does it to me sometimes. Like not as often now, but he used to. And I'm like, you have a lock on your phone and there's not even buttons anymore.
Right.
Right.
I just do it because since I don't lock my phone, I'm like walking out of the house and it goes to favorites and then it'll call you.
Yes,
like,
the
oh,
favorites get me.
The
though,
favorites
sometimes.
Gets me too. Yeah, and then you call people that are. And then the worst is when you think if it calls your favorites, you should be okay. But when it calls your like the favorite that shouldn't be in your favorites anymore.
Yes.
Oh.
That's the worst. Like, why are you calling my ex-boyfriend? Damn it. Hate that. Oh, guys, you can call us with anything, 888-947-8277. We're talking about long-distance relationships. You know, why do you feel about choking in the bedroom? It can be too much for you. Or what do you think, sex therapy versus marriage counseling? Which is right for you?
When do you, like, when this is not really sex-related, but it's still long-distance, like, when is it too long of long distance? Like, when do you need to make sure that it's, like, going to end at some point?
Well, that's my thing about long distance. I spared you my long distance speech. But I will tell you that I do think that if you're in a long distance relationship, that you absolutely have to have an end date. Like, you know that at some point in a year or some point, like, you one of you will move to the other city. If you're just trying to figure it out, you're not going to figure it out, because what's going to happen is you're going to continue and you're going to stay together in this long distance relationship, because they're not like real relationships. I like to call them like vacation relations, because you're essentially on vacation the entire time, because every time you see each other, it's so new and exciting and you haven't seen each other and you miss each other. And of course, like everything's great and the sex is great and your connection, and you have that longing, which doesn't happen when you're living in the same city. And then that makes everything else taste great, feel great with them. But then you move to the same city and you're like, oh, I don't know, you know. So the point is, know that there is a time that it's going to end. But if you don't know that, then, you know, maybe it's not going to work. Like, people have been calling, like, well, I'm not going to move and she's not going to move. I'm like, then you shouldn't be together. But I think a year is okay. You know, some people are like, we've been long distance for 2 years, but we see each other every weekend, or we see each other once a month,
right.
Or we see each other. So I guess everybody gets to decide. But if you're in a relationship where you really don't see someone that often, or you don't have an end date, like, what are you doing then with your life? Like, some people, we can get so filled up right now on words and texts And for some people, they've got this nailed, the long distance thing. It's very fulfilling for them because they're in their heads about it all day. They're like, well, once we're in the same place or once this all happens, that they're essentially living a fairy tale romance with someone that they've never actually lived in the same place with and might not actually work out. So it can be a waste of time too. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into more of your questions.
All right, we have a Cindy, 55, in New Orleans, that wants to ask about squirting.
All right. Hey, Sydney, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
So I have a question for you. I'm very, very lucky. My husband and I have a wonderful sex life. I'm multi-orgasmic. And about 4 or 5 years ago, my husband was able to get me to squirt, and now he is obsessed. He wants me to do it again, and I've been like, no, no, I don't want to try this again. I don't know what I did that caused it to happen. It happened. So I'd like to go ahead and fulfill his fantasy of having me do that again, but how does it happen? I mean, what did I do? Or right. What did he do that...
I mean, a lot of times it has to do, yeah, you know, it is, like, it's, did it happen? Was he using his fingers or were you having sex? Was he using a toy? Do you remember what was happening? And maybe I can explain to you more.
Sure. He was using his fingers.
Okay.
And I was standing and he was sitting on the love seat.
Oh, okay. Well, this makes sense. So if you were standing, it means that your legs were closer together. You were probably tensing and relaxing your pelvic floor muscles. And you were probably clenching them together a little bit tighter, too. So when you're standing, I actually, that's a really great way to squirt. I've squirted that way. And so I think that's probably why you were squeezing your pelvic floor muscles. He was using his fingers to penetrate you and going in and out and hitting your G-spot. So maybe try that again. It really is just continual stimulation of the G-spot. It helps to already be aroused, to have like a clitoral orgasm first. For some women, it helps to like kind of rub over the pubic mound, like right above your clitoris. Using the magic wand vibrator kind of works for a lot of people. Yeah. Use that over your pubic mound. Have him use his fingers and then place the magic wand on your pubic mound. Pubic mound is such a funny word. Yes, exactly. Your pubic mound. But that's where you apply pressure with it. I'm telling you, it's been like this. We had the owners of Magic Wand a few months ago. We love them. And I'm like, have you heard this a lot too? They're like, yeah, all the time. So that's what happens.
We've had ours for years.
Yes.
You know, before I ever even discovered you, I was reading up and found one. And I thought, this is a good toy.
Amazing. You know, I don't know when you got it, but they have one that's wireless now, a cordless.
Oh
yeah, you don't need to plug it in, and it's just as powerful. It's cordless. I know. Oh. It was huge when that came out 4 years ago. Like, we had a parade. It was only in our office, but we were excited. So that's what it is. It's all G-spot. Play with the toys, play with his fingers, and stand up straight. That all makes sense to me. I would try to recreate that.
Go ahead and...
Okay, awesome. All right, go do me. And again, so don't feel pressure, Sydney, but you know, why not? See how it goes again. Thanks, Sydney.
We got Jim, 49, in Texas, and he's struggling to relax during sex.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for calling.
Hey, gang. How are you guys doing?
We're so good. Okay, so what's on your mind during sex?
That's great.
I guess
mostly worrying about getting an erection, I guess.
Oh, okay. Because you haven't been getting one lately? Or...
Yeah. It's very inconsistent.
Okay.
And at times, like, I've actually lost some weight, and I'm exercising a lot more and doing a lot more things, but then for some reason, I've actually had a harder time getting an erection.
Okay. Have you tried, like, are you taking any medications?
No.
Okay. And also, have you gotten your testosterone checked, your hormone levels checked?
I have not.
That's where I would send you first. I'm telling you, you know, over 40, you're with men, your testosterone levels drop. And if you're otherwise living a healthy lifestyle, I would think that losing weight and exercising and being healthy wouldn't have an impact. And if you're still into your partner and you're still like enjoying that, there's not like resentments build up and it's just really like, oh my God, my penis usually stays hard and now it's not, or it can't get hard. Then I would talk to your doctor and get your levels checked. If that's the reason you can't relax.
I guess the other thing, sometimes...
Yeah.
Again, when I'm really relaxed, it works a lot better, obviously. But then other times, I'm almost ahead of time thinking, okay, I'm going to have a problem here, and then I have trouble.
Right. Okay. So this is so great. So Jim, this is like the classic, like this happens to everybody, men and women. We're like, am I going to like one? It only has to happen one time for guys sometimes to premature ejaculate or not get hard. And then they like, all, it becomes like this self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like self-fulfilling penis. I was trying to think of like self-fulfilling penis prophecy that you're like, oh, I'm not going to get hard. I'm not going to stay hard. And then it's going to happen. So I would say that it's really about retraining your brain. And this is just the same. Have you ever done any like mindfulness or meditation exercises? Jim? Is he gone?
I think he's gone.
You know, it's like, that's the thing I want to tell you is that we all do this during sex. We like orgasm block ourselves, or we get so in our heads about how do I look? What does my partner think? Or that like, I'm not going to have an orgasm because I never had an orgasm. And then sure enough, you're not going to have an orgasm. So my best tips is that like, go easy on yourself, but then also learn to kind of retrain your brain to when you're in that moment, like the second your thought goes to, I'm not going to have an orgasm, you have to replace it with, for me, what works is being in the moment. Like, okay, I go to that thought and then I think, oh, I'm looking at my partner. I'm feeling my hands on their body. I try to incorporate all of my senses. So like touch, my hands are on my partner's body. I'm seeing my partner's beautiful face. I'm smelling this amazing candle that I just lit. I'm hearing the music. And when you anchor yourself in what's happening present time in the moment, you can't be in your head tripping about an erection or about your orgasm. It just, it immediately drops you into the moment. And I do that even when I'm just like, during the day, if I'm stressed about something, I try to remember to do that. So that also can help you during sex. But then also, and then the other thing is letting your partner know, like, sometimes bringing your partner into it. Like, I think sometimes we silently suffer through the stuff when partners were like, oh, I hope he doesn't notice I'd get an erection. Or, you know, he's with, or
probably
she didn't notice.
Noticed that.
Yeah. Right. Or I hope she didn't notice that, like, I'm, whatever, that I'm, or I'm concerned it happened last time and will it happen again this time, or I can't have an orgasm, and then we just trip it up. But if you're like, listen, I realize the last few times, I know that one time I make an erection, but I really believe the last three times it's because I'm freaking tripped about it. And then if your partner's like, okay, that they can like laugh about it, I'm telling you, having some levity, then you'd be like, oh, okay, you don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. And then it might just
pop up.
There it goes. Might pop up.
Yeah, I think it really.
Look what popped up. Look who showed up. It's my erection. Welcome to the bedroom. It's been a while.
It's like a snake charmer.
Exactly.
All right. So we have Jessica from California. She is 31 and she is uncomfortable with breast play after breastfeeding. So how can she break that to her husband?
Hey, Jessica. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi. So tell me, so are your breasts just really sensitive right now? Is that what's happening?
Well, I breastfed my son for 2 years, and after that, it's been such a huge turnoff because it's kind of like this mind game for me where I feel like my breasts turn into more of a nourishing thing as opposed to, like, a sex object. So now when my husband tries to, like, play with them or twist them, it just instantly gives me, like, this, like, uncomfortable feeling.
Right, right. Okay, and how long has that been happening for?
For about a year now.
Okay. So Jessica, this is interesting because I feel like it's just, it's not that it actually hurts. It's more like your brain has associated your breasts for the last 2 years to, breastfeeding and light, you know, nourishing and nurturing and all those things. So really, I want you to just kind of be honest with him because that's the only way you're going to, like, it's your husband. And just say, you know, babe, I realize lately that since you touched them, it feels a little bit more uncomfortable and I'm sort of associating with breastfeeding. So let's sort of play together and figure out how we can get that sensation back. And so what I would recommend, Jessica, is to start out like slowly, like maybe he just starts like slowly like tickling around like the base of the breast, like maybe underneath your breast, right? Like a tease, like maybe it's just those nerve endings beneath it, right? And it's not just like he goes full on and grabs them or twists them, but it's like getting to know them again. Maybe he's using some kind of like massage oil or like a massage candle, and it just is like a different sensation on there. And maybe at the same time, he's also maybe like start slowly with that, but then also like he could be going down on you, or you could be using a sex toy in your clitoris because the nipples and the clitoris are connected. The same part of the brain is responsible for pleasure for both of those regions. Nipples, clitoris goes to the same part of the brain. And so sometimes like you could maybe incorporate those two again. So I just feel like you're going to have to get familiar with it, but not the same way you were before, because you just have to rewire your brain around breast play. So you're not like set this way. Like it's been a year, so you haven't tried. So you know what I'm saying? But now, like, I really think if you tell him about it, then he can kind of work with you on, like, you know, do you remember what felt good before? Or did you really like it before? Okay.
I did like it before, and he has at times, like, kissed around my nipple and underneath and on the sides, and that does always really turn me on. It's just the actual nipple part that
Well, I think that maybe you just let him know that. And actually, maybe once you're honest with him and you're just like, hey, listen, babe, but I love when you lick the side. And because I think that's underrated, like licking the side of the breast or touching it and then blowing on it and like cool and hot. And there's so many nerve endings. So you could just say the nipple right now is a little sensitive. And then maybe once like that pressure is tough of you, like, oh no, I hope he doesn't go for the nipple. Like then eventually you're going to realize that you're just going to, the sensation will come back and maybe you'll like it again. But I think just, you know, the more honest you are and say, let's play with everything else but right now. Yeah, okay.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jessica. Thank you. You're so welcome. Let me know how it goes. That's the good news about a lot of this stuff. We are in our heads thinking that things don't feel good and we can't have an orgasm. We can't be touching this way. We can't give a blowjob because one time it was bad. Like all these things are all of our limitations in our head. And when we realize that, we can learn to rewire, retrain our brains around these things. That's all it is, which is kind of amazing.
Jerry, 41 in Alaska, and he has an oral sex question.
Hey, Jerry in Alaska. I love your calling from Alaska. How you doing? Happy to help.
Oh, not too bad. How are you today?
So good, thanks.
Great. Okay, I've been married now for just over 20 years. And my wife and I, we have, I think, a fantastic sex life and, you know, very open discussion, most things. But recently she's come up with this thing about oral sex. And after we've had intercourse, she's wanting me to go down on her and, you know, more or less taste my own cum. And I just can't get my head around it, if it's normal or is it a gay thing or
no, not at all, Jerry. It's actually common right now for men to, we've been hearing this, a lot of men want to taste it. The men on their own are like tasting their own cum. What's the blog at our site called?
I believe, I'll look it up.
We'll tell you about it. But Jerry, no, it's really not a gay thing at all. No sex acts makes us gay. Like sex doesn't define you and make you gay. It's more like, it sounds so she wants you to go down and taste her cum. Okay, so it's more like there's nothing wrong with it. It's not unhealthy. Doesn't make you gay. It's more like, do you want to? Like, does it make you feel uncomfortable otherwise?
Just the thought of, you know, like a man semen or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's all it is. I mean, honestly, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not going to hurt you. It's your own semen coming back at you out of her. So I feel like, and the post on our site is called, Is It Safe, Normal or Safe to Eat Your Own Ejaculate? That's the post. And we're going to put that in the show notes for you. So I would really, I mean, maybe you could use a wipe if you wanted to by the bed. That would maybe take some of it away from what she wants. Yeah. Well, but have you
asked? The other thing that has happened too is after she has gone down on me, she's sort of held it. And then without me really realizing it, she French kissed me and wow.
Well, okay, so I think that's something you got to talk about first. I don't think it's, you know, but 20 years of marriage, have you asked her why she's interested in this?
No, I just, like, I don't know where it come from.
Yeah.
And another thing while you're online here is she has, you know, brought up and, you know, put on porn involving a threesome with another man. Like I don't know if there's something building up in a fantasy or she's
I think you got to ask her. You know, here's the thing. Your sex life is fantastic. You've been together for 20 years, a little over 20 years, you said. And I think this is a perfect time to start talking about your sex life. So this is what I always recommend, okay? I recommend, Jerry, that when you're outside the bedroom, like next time you guys are like having date night or you're just hanging out, the two of you, just say, you know what? I've been thinking about our sex life a lot. And I think we should just start talking about it. I want to know, like, what are, you know, I know the semen thing, you want me to, you know, go, whatever you want to say, you want me to go down on you. And I just want to know more about that. Like, I'd love to do things that turn us both on and that make us feel good. So let's just start. I want to know, do you have any fantasies you want to try? It made me think that maybe there's some things you were into. And remember, when we're having these conversations, Jerry, they're really like calm. They're not shamey or blamey or judgy. They're just kind of like open, even though you might be feeling inside, like, does she want me to have sex with another man? But listen to what she says. And then it's in, not, a, yeah.
In the modern world today, you know, is there a lot of this bringing a third party into the bedroom?
There is.
If you have a good, secure marriage.
Yes. I have to tell you, Jerry, when I say a lot, I don't know that there's a lot, okay? But what I'm telling you is that if you have a very good, secure marriage, there are many couples that I know of that have called in the show, that are friends, that have actually brought a third person in, and it's actually enhanced their intimacy. And these are the couples that are on really healthy ground. Like, you're saying you're on healthy ground, and I believe you, but I would also say, Jerry, but that before you brought anyone in, couples have to set boundaries, and they have to set rules, and like, maybe you don't want a man, maybe you would want a woman, maybe, you know, like, does she sleep over? He sleep over? What are the positions? Is there intercourse? Do they leave after? How do we meet the person? Like, there's a lot that goes into before you bring a third in. But to answer your question, for many couples who are in healthy relationships and then have healthy boundaries, it can work. It can be really hot and kind of bring that spark back.
Like, there's part of me that it turns me on to think that, you know, my wife is, you know, really turned on, and you know, I guess I'm not blind to it, but I just wonder, you know, from, you know, the marriage bond, and you know, are you committing adultery, or you know, what's the overall view from it?
Yeah, no, I understand that. And that's your own. I mean, honestly, this is what I feel about that. Is like, I think we get to decide what works for us and leave the rest. Like, I'm sure there's other things that you do very well, you know, abide by your religion or your beliefs. But this one, I mean, I'm telling you, people of all religions and races, they've tried this out and it works. So that's something that you're going to have to work with on your own. But I think it starts with having a really healthy conversation with your wife about it. And seeing, like, I love that it turned you on. You could let her know that it turned you on. You could also let her know your concerns, and maybe you guys could kind of figure this out together. But you don't have to make any quick decisions. It's totally a new conversation. And maybe you watch some more porn with threesomes and then talk about it after. Well, that would be hot if we did this and that. So I would just kind of get curious and have some more talks.
Yeah.
Okay?
All
Thanks
right.
for calling,
Thank you
Jerry.
Very much.
You're so welcome. I'm here for you. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Thank you for sharing the show, for reviewing it, giving us 5 stars. We love that. And subscribing. It's amazing. Thanks to our amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.